Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. And Eric, hey, look, it's a much better environment out there right now for the precious metals. And this environment is now a little over a week long because you take a look at what gold has done, what the underlying precious metal stocks have done ever since that Fed meeting last Wednesday. And everything, for the most part, is up nicely. Now, we definitely have still a few standout stocks. Those, we can almost call them high flyers when it comes to the exploration, or at least some of the juniors that continue to outperform the market. But at least even in some of the other stocks we have seen, it looks like some decent bottoms already formed. That being said, still important to focus on some of the better companies and some of the companies that are doing work that have your attention. One company we've been talking about off mic is SK Mining. Now, SK Mining is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ESK and on the OTC markets under the symbol ESKYF. The company came out with news on November 8th, just this Monday. I interviewed the team through a special video interview that is posted on our site talking about these drill results. Now, the headline number says that SK Mining encountered broad intercepts of precious metals, rich stockwork feeder mineralization at the TV zone. We saw 47 meters grading 5.2 grams per ton gold equivalent, also 140 meters grading 2.6 grams per ton gold equivalent. These are some nice numbers. Eric, what's your takeaway from that news?
Well, I just get more and more bullish. I mean, over the last several months, they have released a number of news releases, and every news release seems to hike up the blue sky potential, basically, that they are finding new outcrops, new sky time anomalies, Blegg anomalies, etc. So it's like, and we've seen the share price just consolidate, basically, which is good. I mean, in contrast to most of the juniors. And I think it's one of the most exciting stories I've ever seen. I just put out a piece on it, a pretty long piece. And this is one of those more, I guess, complicated stories, because I think the blue sky potential is so huge that it's like, it makes me paranoid, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad sign. And but at the same time, when you look at the valuation, I mean, I think the gut reaction for anyone is almost going to be, well, that's very expensive. They don't even have a resource, 450 million or whatever, which I think makes a lot of people simply just disregard it, because they think, well, okay, how many stocks out there has ended well when they had a 450 million market cap, you know, early on in early stage exploration? So I can understand that, and especially if you haven't, you know, dug into the story really. But I have dug into the story. And like the latest news release, which you talked about, I mean, those are some very good long intercepts of relatively high grade bulk mineralization. And like one example is that this is these first five holes out of 98 are from the upper feeder zone at the TV target. And that's one out of four targets in total there. You have the upper VMS horizon, you have the upper feeder zone, you have the lower VMS horizon. And then, of course, there must be some kind of feeder to the lower VMS horizon. So, I mean, just the fact they're hitting like 90 meters true width of the upper feeder zone. And that's one of four targets at TV. And they also did almost ended the season with a 300 meter step out of hole to the north. And then there, they hit, an 86 meter intercept of replacement style sulfide mineralization. And that's upsection from the mineralization at TV. So that's another target higher up in the strata. So that makes it like five targets. And they believe that there's a chance that it might connect to all the way to Jeff, which is approximately 1.8 kilometers north of Jeff. So there you have the potential for like 2 kilometers of a stacked VMS system. You have both a stacked VMS system at TV and Jeff. So, I mean, the vertical potential, even though we don't have the assays from the upper VMS horizon or the lower VMS horizon. So there's a lot of questions there still, but if they are, decent or whatever, I mean, the vertical potential is like at least 300 meters, not counting the lower feeder zone. And then you have a, potential strike of some horizon or a few horizons of like connecting 2 kilometers to Jeff, which they already know also has VMS potential. And then there's like 4 or 5 clusters just around TVJF. And then they have the Vermilion target, which they hit with drilling and had tens of meters in multiple holes of sulfide mineralization. And then they went up to Scarlet Ridge to the north and found a 1.5 kilometer long outcrop of VMS mineralization. So when you take that and take into account the fact that the SK Creek deposit, the original one, and the remnants which Skeena has drilled up, that's like 10 million ounces of AU equivalent, worth, I'm guessing here, like $4 to $5 billion today from 1 kilometer. And they have yet to hit the SK Creek contact mudstone horizon. So we can't guarantee that there will be like the super bonanza grades we've seen in the original SK Creek deposit. But Skeena's remnants is worth like $1.6 billion alone.
Eric, there are different grades though, right? We should address that fact that the grades are lower from what SK Mining is experiencing right now through their drilling.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So these are the they have found similar horizons up at SK Creek where Skeena has been drilling. They call it the lower mudstone horizon and the even lower mudstone horizon. So their grades are pretty comparable to what SK Mining has found at TV and Jeff. So these are older VMS systems than the SK Creek VMS system. So that's what I mean about we don't know yet if we'll find a VMS horizon that has the super world-class highest grades ever type of thing like they have at the original SK Creek, because that was also in a different unit. So that's a big if still. But right now, from what I'm seeing, I don't even know if we need it just because of the sheer vertical potential and strike length and number of clusters and outcropping VMS mineralization at Scarlet Ridge, for example, and they hit the Vermilion. So it's like that's the kind of risk to what I like. If I can miss the total blue sky by 90% and still come out pretty good, that feels kind of, like a good bet to me.
Well, Eric, just a general question about this and investing in companies like this, because as you point out, they've got a lot of land, they've got a lot of projects, they got a lot of clusters. Some of those clusters may connect, and they're in the right neighborhood next to other miners that have proved up big deposits. But at this point, they still have almost close to half a billion-dollar market cap. And while it may be valued in the billions eventually, right now they don't really have the resources in the ground to back up the valuation they have. So there are some investors that would maybe be gun shy of getting in here. I mean, I know that you're enthusiastic about it, but when you see these exploration stocks that don't have economic studies out yet, valued more than producers that have known ounces in the ground and mines built and they've already gotten permits, sometimes there just seems like a big valuation mismatch. Do you think that these stocks really should be valued where they're at now and higher? Or is it just that the producers and some of these developers are still too low as far as their valuations because they both can't be right? You can't have producers that have smaller market caps as in exploration stocks when they have millions of ounces in the ground and all that sunk cost. How do you balance those two competing forces out in valuations?
I think that's one of the like the good and the bad with exploration. I mean, as long as the dream is alive, you can, put any number you like, really. So I mean, like Newfound Gold, etc. I mean, that has been like a high PE stock. I mean, I like to look at SK Creek, SK Mining as a high PE stock, where it's like at face value, it has a PE of 40, and you're sitting there thinking, I can buy stuff at PE 10. Producers, let's say. But at the same time, okay, like most growth stocks, they tend to be very overvalued in any given time, at any given time. So, I mean, if you have a P40 stock and it has a 50% growth rate, that's going to grow into that valuation and surpass that valuation pretty quickly. And if they keep on growing, they'll have a PE of 40 in 2 years as well. So that's how you can, you know, I mean, like Pierre Lassonde says, 95% of value is made through the drill bit. But back to your point, that's like an impossible thing to wrap one's head around, because as you say, I mean, the business side, I mean, if success is valued like they're valuing the producers, then the question is like, okay, why would you buy something when you see that when these the typical deposits gets into production, they might be valued less than what they are before they even have a resource? But then I guess the one of the answers is that there are some systems or deposits that just are, you know, those rare, incredible deposits, like Fosterville, for example. I mean, yes, that's like the Swan Zone was like, what, 3-4 million ounces, perhaps. But that mine was worth, I don't know, if you compare it to the average ounce, maybe it was worth like 20 million ounces or more than that. So that's where it gets hard, when you get that kind of exponential quality, so the exponentially, you know, high margins, etc., and then your EV per ounce calculation, etc., goes out the window. And the same was for SK Creek. I mean, that had such a high silver grade that I think they mined all the gold at minus cost, basically. So how do you value that? That's kind of hard to value, because it wasn't like a 20 million ounce deposit or anything. It just literally printed money, at least if you include the credits from the silver portion. So it's an impossible question to answer, but I think it goes back to, like, as long as there's a shot at a relatively high margin or very high margin system, I think the market sees that and can reward it greatly, again, like we've seen with Newfound Gold, because the market has picked up on the fact that Fosterville, even though it was small, it basically made Kirkland into a behemoth.
Hey, Eric, you are spot on when you say it, as long as the dream is still alive, right? And that's what investors right now, especially retail, is looking for. And that's why we see so much retail investors in these junior stocks, because look, it's the bigger institutions. They need some sort of margin of safety, right? So they do look for a bit more de-risk projects. But when you have a company like SK Mining here, who has a fairly large land package in the Golden Triangle, but they have also done a good job of telling everybody about all these other targets, right? And this isn't a story that they're even saying we're going to bring into production or even run through economics anytime soon, because there is so much exploration upside. It fits with a lot of what investors are looking for, because they want that blue sky. However, hey, we have seen a number of stocks do a real turnaround sometimes and come back to some lower valuations. But again, it's all about that dream. What are you excited about then? Because a lot of these drill results have been from this TV and Jeff zone that are very close together. But you check out the company's website and all the other targets, over a dozen targets, it looks like, on that project. What else are you looking for? What else do you think will keep that dream alive?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if they can just keep connecting TV and Jeff.
But that's not all blue sky then, right? If they start connecting TV and Jeff, people are going to want economics around that. They have so many other targets that, hey, who knows how big they could be, right?
It's just that, I mean, again, it's like if we find, let's say it like this. A lot is going to, it's going to be very telling what the upper and lower VMS horizon will come out with. If that's bonanza grade, then the SK Creek, the real SK Creek dream is on. If it's not bonanza grade, then we're looking probably at more like Skeena Resources type thing, and that could still be billions of dollars if those connect, etc. So I think a lot can change. And again, it's like they have so many targets, and they were planning on drilling Scarlet Ridge as well. So it's like next season, I expect them to test like, well, TV Jeff, connect TV and Jeff, Vermilion, Scarlet Ridge, C10 probably. So it's like, what I want to see, I mean, that I want to make money, okay? If do I need them to find like 5 SK creeks? No. Would I be happy with 1 SK creek? Absolutely. That could be like a 5 to 10 bagger. And at the same time, when talk about valuations, like, okay, what would back up the current valuation? Okay, Skeena Resources is valued at 1 billion. They have 3.3 million ounces in reserves, similar grade. So I look at it, okay, we're valued at half that. Of course, you would be raising money in drilling, et cetera. But let's say you would need a 60% chance of finding something half of what Skeena Resources has. I don't think that's a long shot at all. So I like that from a probabilistic standpoint, like some margin of safety, because you don't need a lot of what they've been hitting already to get up to like 2.5 million ounces. And that's not answering your question about the dream, of course, but I that's hard to say. Again, it's like I don't know many companies that have this many targets in the possibly the best VMS district in the world for precious metals. So it's like after this field season, we might be sitting here, or after a few months, we might be talking about, well, okay, they find another like SK Creek race, or Vermilion actually looks like another real discovery with higher grades, perhaps. And I think they're sampling Scarlet Ridge. So this blue sky is too big that it can like take so many different directions. I just think that, I mean, I would like them to have at least one more hit other than TV and Jeff. I think that would, you know, confirm the thesis that, yes, this is truly a district play. And then we can't forget about like Sibululu, where Skeena has been drilling quite close to. I mean, there's so much stuff that I think they have a problem, or the problem is to prioritize the pipeline, because there's like you said, there's like a dozen targets, and they have Blegg anomalies and Skytem anomalies and all that. I okay, long story short, I have no idea how this is going to be just in like 3 months.
Well, fair enough, Eric. And you know what? The good problem that they have is that they are continuing to hit at these TV and Jeff zones, right? So they do have that built-in value, even though we don't know how big the resource will be at that zone, but they just keep on hitting new areas, right? And that is one of the things that keeps people excited, rightfully so. They're in a great area. And we also saw a pretty significant transaction in the Golden Triangle on Monday. So that also brings more interest into the section or into the area. Eric, great chatting with you. We're going to have to wrap it up here. We'll chat again next week. And hey, we'll probably be talking about some other stock, and hopefully these stocks continue this uptrend that they've been on again for just over a week. Eric, thanks as always for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll chat next week.
The same. Thanks, Guy. And I'll point out that I own a lot of shares of SK Mining, and they are a banner sponsor, so consider me very biased.